You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, already in progress. It's hour two on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Spent some time in the first hour talking some football. Also, what happened to the NHL official Tim Peel. He has been fired for what happened in the game against the Predators and the Red Wings. We did reach out to a variety of people, including the NHL, Tim Peel himself, because I still would like to get a little background, a little context on exactly what happened. I know what I heard. I know what I saw, but what led up to that and anything happened after that. But as it stands right now, we are empty-handed with people who can advance this story. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. Trade deadline. What name gets you excited? Lonzo Ball, Kyle Lowry, Aaron Gordon, Andre Drummond, Norm Powell. Yeah, I thought so. But maybe somebody gets traded by the 3 o'clock Eastern trade deadline. Yes, Paulie?
Dan, you buried the lead late last night. Woj broke that the Pistons traded guard DeLon Wright for Corey Joseph and two second-round picks.
Okay.
A Pistons-Kings trade? That'll whet your appetite.
Mm.
So, see, those are your teams.
Yep. Yeah, we're trying to shoehorn this that, hey, maybe the Lakers get Kyle Lowry. Maybe the Clippers get Lonzo Ball.
Let's chop up this DeLon Wright, Corey Joseph trade.
Yeah, I'm going to wait a little bit. I'm going to wait a little bit there. Maybe I'll wait till tomorrow. Wait till it's official. Yes, McLevin.
I have to tell you, Sixers Nation is going absolutely insane. I mean, it is like, you should see my phone is blowing up. Should we trade this guy, this guy? Trade talk in the local radio there. It's like taking over everything. They've even taken a break from the Eagles. But I don't think they could trade for anyone who's going to give them a championship. So I don't know what all the buzz is about.
I guess Kyle Lowry, that you could get Kyle Lowry.
Or Powell.
I guess. I don't know.
Norm Powell. How could a guy named Norm Powell be great at basketball? And Lonzo to the Sixers? I don't get that at all either.
I don't get that.
They already have a better Lonzo named Ben Simmons.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe he goes to the Clippers. Clippers could use a point guard. All right. We say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock. All 3 hours are available for free. Download the app and our radio affiliates around the country. Last night, the Raptors had an impressive home win over the Nuggets and could be the last hurrah for that core of their 2019 championship team. They came in on a 9-game losing streak, and they're dealing with the rumors that Kyle Lowry could be traded at the deadline, and nothing is finalized. It certainly felt like Kyle Lowry was saying goodbye to Toronto. Just 2 seasons ago, Lowry and Kawhi Leonard were leading this team past the Warriors in the finals. Kawhi, of course, with the Clippers. Toronto goes back to the drawing board, and the NBA isn't really a sport that has random champions. It's a steady diet with the Spurs and the Lakers, whoever LeBron is playing for, and the Warriors over the last couple of decades. You know, a few outliers, the 08 Celtics, the 2011 Mavs, but Toronto might be the most random. The Raptors will lose part of their identity with Kyle Lowry, greatest Raptor in history, but that doesn't mean their rabid fans can't cherish a well-deserved championship banner. But man, does that seem like a lot longer than a couple of years ago when they won a championship there. All right, poll question, McLovin. What do we have or are we staying with?
Okay, so I put up first hour. Which sport has the worst officiating?
Oh.
Completely contrary. I'm just curious what fans thought.
Okay.
NBA is running away with it at 42%, then NFL, then MLB, and then NHL is only at 8%.
Well, that might be the popularity or lack thereof of the National Hockey League. And we don't fixate on a call in hockey the way we do baseball, basketball, or football. Yeah, McLeod.
Also, I think NHL officials deserve a break because they're on skates and they're flying around. It must be, it's very hard.
Yes, extremely.
Like, we could all ref a basketball game. I don't think any of us could do that.
Yeah, Paul.
Didn't it feel like the NFL had a very good year from an officiating standpoint? We usually spend a couple Mondays and Tuesdays chopping up a bad call in the NFL, and it seems like we didn't do that this year.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was overt, but it seemed like there was fewer calls overall, and I don't have any stats to back it up. It seems like they took the refs out of play and tried to take them out of the focus.
Well, would you rather have less calls or would you rather have more calls? Because it feels like I want to have less, but then I don't know if this is a situation where they missed that call. That was an obvious call, and they missed it, as opposed to, I can't believe they called that. It feels like when you miss a call, we're angrier than you did call something, and maybe it wasn't as egregious as you thought originally. But, you know, flow of the game, it's all about that for me. Like watching college basketball, and those final 2 minutes can be interminable. And it's the same commercials over and over and over. Scoop, lady! Like, okay, I get it. But if you're going to run all these commercials, can we have some other inventory here? You know?
Nothing is everything. Is Sky Rizzi the guy?
Oh, yeah, whatever that is.
I can't sing.
Whatever that is. Yes, McLovin.
Remember when, this probably you are used to it, but the Danettes were cheerleaders for the Houston Cougars, as everyone remembers.
Yeah.
We were sitting right under the basket as cheerleaders.
Yeah.
We were shocked at how physical the game was. So I was wondering, at that level, you can almost call a penalty on every play. Not to be cliche, it was just guys would bounce off each other all over the place. So how do you officiate that?
Well, you're used to it. I mean, it's like a NASCAR driver, a Formula One driver. You go, boy, how do you get used to that speed? What, you get used to it because it's normal to you.
But I would say, like, officials have to let a certain amount of physicality go,
oh, sure.
Right? So how do you set that line?
I have no idea. When guys are, like, banging into each other, backing down, that's not a foul. But then somebody will have a little ticky-tack foul, and then they'll call that. Where two big guys are sumo wrestling, not going to call anything. And then somebody on the – Harden comes in. Oh, foul. Meanwhile, I got – 2-7, I got 14 feet and 600 pounds banging into each other. Yeah, play on. No call there. All right, we'll get to phone calls coming up. Frank Isola from the Yes Network and Sirius XM and ESPN. He'll join us coming up a little bit later on. We'll talk about what is fact, what is fiction as far as who could get traded and just some of the names that I mentioned before. Lonzo Ball. I don't understand what happens with Pelican games, because when I watch, I got Zion and Brandon Ingram, who I think are 25-point scores. And then I got Lonzo Ball, who's improved his game dramatically. And they're a sub-500 team. So it's weird. Now they're getting ready to trade Lonzo Ball. Charles Barkley was on Mike Greenberg's podcast. And he talked about James Harden. He was asked about James Harden being the best player in the NBA. Here's Charles Barkley.
No disrespect to LeBron or Giannis or anybody. James Harden might be the best basketball player in the world, period. Listen, James has made that style in Houston was never going to win, but he has adapted and changed. I think he is a little bit better defensively. But for them to win games without KD and without Kyrie, you got to give that man some credit. And like I say, he is the most awesome offensive player I've ever seen. Listen, Michael and Kobe were better players from the guard standpoint. But as far as offensively, they couldn't shoot threes like him. They were not as great as dribbling the basketball, going to the basket, getting fouled. But we got to give that guy credit, man. He is an offensive machine, plain and simple.
Yes, but it's a different style now. If you said, I can't put my hand on Kobe or Michael, it wouldn't be fair, folks. James Harden is great. Love him. Fascinated by him. But he's a great offensive player. Kobe and Michael are great players. But if you said Michael Jordan in today's climate, okay, he will shoot threes. They didn't shoot threes back then. Nobody did. But they would develop because the game makes you develop. Kobe would be shooting threes. But if you gave him a spread out court, come on. These guys would both be able to average 40 points a game. They would. And this isn't all in my era. I can't put my hand on you. Even when you could put your, I mean, imagine that. You could put your hand on them. You could be physical. And Kobe and Mike both averaged 37 in a season. Three more points at the peak of their prime of their career? Sure. At least. If I geared my offense and I just said, go out and score, because that's what Harden does. Harden's game in Houston was go out and score. Green light. Do whatever you want to do. Shoot as many threes as you want. Keep shooting, keep shooting, keep shooting. If I just said to Kobe, go out there, he had 81 in a game. I mean, it's not like Kobe needed to be encouraged to shoot, but he scored 81 in a game. So I'm guessing these guys would have very little trouble scoring 40 points in a game. Yes, Paul.
I stumbled on a clip on, I don't know what I was watching the other day, but it was Kobe Bryant's best play against every NBA team. Like, they went through each team.
Yeah.
It was fascinating. He dunked on everybody. And there are games where he's playing with Shaq, and he takes the last shot, and he's buried by three guys.
Yeah.
And you see Shaq kind of did this one game, I think it was against, like, Charlotte. Kobe was buried in the corner by three guys, and it was a game winner. And Shaq's asking for the ball, and he's got kind of like this come on, man, look on his face.
Yeah.
And then he wins, and Shaq has to put his hands in the air because Kobe hit it. Yeah. But these highlights are fascinating.
Yes, McLovin.
By the way, Jordan was also possibly allowed to push off, especially one certain play.
He did push off on that one play in Utah.
Yeah.
But just once.
But he used the physicality to his advantage sometimes. Like, he would kind of manhandle the guy who was covering him a little bit.
Okay.
Didn't he? Yeah.
Okay. James Harden is wonderful to watch. I'm fascinated. Uses his body. Great touch. Great handle. Leading the league in assists. All those. He's all those things. He's great. But for Charles to say, you know, he's different than Kobe and Michael, you know, he is different, but he's not a better player. And if you gave Michael and Kobe these opportunities, these luxuries, it would be a joke. I mean, they would average 40 a game. They would. No doubt. Yeah, McLovin.
Don't we always have recency bias? Yeah. I remember when Steph Curry came
along.
Yeah,
but this isn't recency bias. You know, because I'm saying Kobe and Mike could do.
No, I mean Charles. Yeah.
Well, Charles, though, he's old school. Like, he has a problem with today's game. Probably because he doesn't watch it. He's forced to watch it. That's the problem he's got with today's game. Yes, Eden.
You put Kobe in that sort of that same Jordan era. Like, to me, Kobe just, like, he just retired 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He kind of played in this era, didn't he?
The tail end.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. Would it be half and a half that he was in? And he did average 37 a game. He would average 40. If I put Kobe, okay, Mike at his peak. We'll just say Jordan at his peak. He'd average 40 without a problem. But in the context of what Phil Jackson would want him to do, because Mike realized that you can be a highlight reel, lead the league in scoring. Greatness is defined by championships. And that's when Michael changed his game. That's when he took less money. They built the roster, and he was coexisting with other players and deferring to them at times. Yes, McLovin.
I mean, you could go back even before Jordan. Like, imagine if Dr. J had learned to shoot like everyone does now, or Pete Maravich. You couldn't touch Pete Maravich. I mean, there are a lot of guys who could have scored at a really high level, but didn't in the old game, or were stuck in the ABA or some reason or other.
Well, Maravich in today's game at 6'5", and he could elevate. Like, he could shoot the jumper over you, and he had great ball handling skills. You know, Pete could shoot deep. His entire career, it felt like, in college was shooting deep. But you have that where you can handle the ball, you have size, you can shoot over people. I can get to the hoop, but I can also shoot deep. Yeah, they're gonna put up some big points. Yeah, Paul.
Since 1980, only two NBA players have attempted more than 2,000 shots in a season, Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Russell Westbrook's close, Harden's close, but they do a lot of their damage on the free throw line.
All right, let me get a couple of phone calls in here. Let's see. Where do I want to go? Drew in Chicago. Hey, Drew. Thanks for holding. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Dan, that's first time, long time. Love the show. 6'1", 180, a hard 180.
Hard.
I'm a basketball, football, and baseball high school and college official. And just speaking from personal experience, when I do baseball and there's a 3-1 count, borderline pitch on the outside, and that batter throws his bat, starts to go to first base, it's like that strike zone goes from a mailbox to a hula hoop, if you know what I mean.
Okay. But what if an umpire announced that he was going to change it? Like if somebody picked up something on the microphone where he says, you know, I'm going to squeeze this guy.
Right. I mean, that would not be good at all. I definitely agree that those sorts of conversations should be kind of held just between official and official. But at that high level, you have to be really cognizant of, like, who's listening and that there's mics everywhere. You have to just be careful because those conversations definitely happen at all levels of sports, for sure.
Yeah. No, thanks for the phone call, Drew. Tim Peel could have used you a week ago.
That advice.
Yeah.
Watch out for the hot mic.
Yeah, the hot mic.
Where were you a week ago?
I know. Chad in Iowa. Hi, Chad. What's on your mind today?
Guys, I called yesterday. I don't need to do the ding thing again, do I?
Nah. you're good on your ding thing.
Okay. Well, I mentioned yesterday that I head our officials association here in Iowa. And, you know, one of the things afflicting high schools around the country are, you know, we're losing officials, college ranks as well. You know, there's a shortage, what they would say. And, you know, things like this, we work as independent contractors. Now, I know the Tim Peel, he's probably an employee of the NHL, but, you know, this stuff has trickle effects just like other things. And, you know, we're held to such scrutiny. This is what, you know, it's part of what's killing officiating that, you know, this guy is going to lose his livelihood over one comment that has been made multiple times, and you know, he's going to lose his job. So for 25 years, his integrity was fine, but now it's not, and he's going to lose his job. I mean, no employee in any company loses their job in such a fashion for something like that. At least in my mind, there's repercussions, sure, and there might be punishment and downgrading of things, but this guy lost a job over a comment that's been made multiple times in multiple sports by many officials, and it's a horrible thing that afflicts us as independent contractors.
Yep. Thank you for the phone call, Chad. I don't know any background on Tim Peel. We're trying. I'm trying to get some information on him. I don't know if he was, you know, a highly graded official. Was he considered a bad official? I don't know any of these things. I don't know if he's had issues with the NHL before. We've mentioned him one other time on this show. Since we've been doing this show, we mentioned Tim Peel's name. He got hit in the groin with a puck, and the puck went into the net. That's it.
And we thought that would be peak Tim Peel coverage
yes.
on the show.
That, I thought that'd be the last time I'd mention Tim Peel.
Right.
Tim took a cup check, a Stanley Cup check, and it went into the goal.
And from not like it was like right next to.
No.
He wasn't standing anywhere near the goal.
He was in the corner.
Yeah, he's in the corner.
Yeah, ricocheted. And he took one.
Old iron crotch got screwed this time.
But I guess Tim was going to retire in a month from now. But I.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I believe.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
It's ironic. You say we don't know anything about this guy. He's the only NFL official we've ever spoken about in the history
NHL.
Of the show.
Yeah. Well, no, didn't we talk about, wasn't Schoenfeld who yelled out the official?
Oh, to have a donut?
Have another donut. Was that like Kuharski? Have another donut! You fat, whatever he called it.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Have another donut. Jacob in Wisconsin. Hi, Jake. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Yeah, I'm 5'9" and 180 pounds filled with Nucleus and frozen custard.
Whoa.
Okay. Yeah. But I am a volunteer official for roller derby for Women's Flat Track Derby Association, and we value the integrity of the sport, and we're here for the love of the game. So to hear someone actually hunt for a call, it's almost infuriating. But when you just get into the sport, you know, you have to get used to it. So there's a lot of speed to it. But we never, ever, ever hunt for a call, you know, ever. So and just to hear that and understand that people get fired, that makes sense.
Yeah, I know. But and thanks for the phone call, Jacob. Do you have that Tim Peel audio? Oh, no. What was Schoenfeld? Jim Schoenfeld? Is that who that is?
That's who it was.
And he came. He worked at the mothership on our NHL coverage, and he was a good sport about it. Well, he should be a good sport about it. He wasn't the one being yelled at, called a fat whatever, and have another donut. I think somebody might have had a box of donuts the first day Jim Schoenfeld came into the mothership. just as a, hey, welcome. Welcome to the team. Have another donut. Well,
and he said it twice. You had to make sure.
Yeah. You fell, you fat. You know, I didn't think we would be talking about this today. I didn't. But Don Koharski, is that the name? Does that sound right? I'm trying to recall. All right, we'll take a break here.
can't beat that.
Don Koharski.
Don Koharski. You fell. Wouldn't that have been great if Jim Schoenfeld or Don Koharski opened up a donut shop? You know, the Willie Hortons or something. Take a break. 22 after the hour. More phone calls coming up here on the Dan Patrick Show. Cyber criminals are taking advantage of the COVID-19 pandemic to scam you into stealing your money and personal information. First of all, it's amazing the information we put out there every day. And they're attempting to exploit people's hardship due to the loss of a job or reduced hours with phishing emails and fake websites. And they just want to get your information. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft affects our lives every single day. That's why you want to protect your finances, your credit, with LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they send you an alert. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now. Save up to 25% off your first year. Promo code Patrick, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or go to LifeLock.com. Make sure you use the promo code Patrick for up to 25% off. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, 3-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marion, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marion. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Marion on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast. Podcast.
Discover one of the most notorious serial killers ever, John Wayne Gacy, called Devil in Disguise. Hear new footage, audio, new details straight from the killer's mouth. 6-part docuseries streaming exclusively on Peacock. Sign up at peacocktv.com. Stream now. McLovin just sent me something. John Clark from NBC Sports saying, the Raptors won a couple of players from the 76ers and 2 first-round picks for Kyle Lowry. Seems a little steep there.
Yeah. Citing Windhorse.
So, okay. Wendy is reporting Tyrese Maxey. Who else is?
Matisse Thybulle, who's that? Defensive
guy?
Guy, yeah. But the 2 first-round picks, you got to presume those are going to be low, hopefully. Yeah. So.
But do the salaries match up? Because Kyle Lowry makes a lot of money.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, the salaries have to match up here. That's the thing I'm curious about.
But the debate is, you want to give up on Tyrese Maxey, who I guess is a nice rookie out of Kentucky that we never saw play Kentucky. Yeah.
Well, the Sixers are all in here with Daryl Morey and Doc, what they feel like they need to add. And there's going to be competition for Kyle Lowry. If the Miami Heat want him, will they be willing to give up? I don't think Tyler Hero. I think Duncan Robinson would be the player who would be on the move. But once again, the salaries have to match up. And Duncan Robinson hasn't been paid yet. The Lakers trying to clear some space here, maybe bringing in Kyle Lowry. But, just rumor right now, that's according to Brian Windhorse. Yeah, Paulie.
If you're a Raptors fan, or I guess any team that goes on a run, the Raptors won their division. Basically, going back to 2013, they've been a very good team. They've been in the Eastern Conference semis, the finals. They won a couple years ago, but now they're terrible, 18-26, and they're dumping prospects. It's got to be a weird thing to go from you know, everyone does that rebuild stuff. Yeah. How long does that title keep you warm? And how long does that keep Nick Nurse employed? Wasn't he coach of the year 2 years
ago? Yeah. Yeah.
Does he get the hall pass? Because this is organizational.
Yeah, I don't know how long you get the hall pass for. Because it's like 2 years, maybe 3 years at the moment. He's still the same coach, right? But usually that, hey, you won a championship, but you know, after 3 years, feels like, but yeah, McLovin.
Kind of like the Eagles with Doug Peterson,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But also they have that GM, Masai Ujiri, who's considered the best GM. So
yeah, but I think something, there were a lot more things involved with what was going on with Doug Peterson in Philadelphia. Yeah. You know? That, you know, when the coach and quarterback aren't talking. By the way, I think it's on the mothership. I'd love to give credit to the person who had the article on Jared Goff. And
I think Lindsay Theory, I think a Rams reporter for the mothership.
Oh, yeah. Did a great job, deep dive on what was going on with Sean McVay and Jared Goff. And boy, did that relationship go south in a hurry. Well, not in a hurry, because if it did, then they wouldn't have given him the contract extension. But it got... I guess some shouting matches between the two. I think Sean McVay realized that Jared Goff had a ceiling, and maybe he'd reached his ceiling, and that they regretted. You know, it's like you like somebody, you get engaged to somebody, you get married to somebody, and then you realize I'm married to this person, at least for the foreseeable future. And I think Sean McVay probably went, can I get an annulment here? He was, for better or for worse, stuck with Jared Goff. And I think that there was a whole lot going on there behind the scenes. So, is that on just ESPN.com? I want to give credit
to it. Yeah, ESPN.com, Lindsay Theory, has great details in here.
Yeah, did a really nice job on a lot of details in here.
When you look at history, how many times does a great quarterback and coach, is there a really hidden tension that we don't know about until years later? Fritzy was mentioning Dan Reeves and John Elway.
Well, the reason why there was tension there is they went out and drafted Tommy Maddox. And they drafted him too early. And they used a first-round draft pick on Tommy Maddox. Sounds familiar, right? Yeah, Seton.
It's kind of interesting that Jared Goff and Sean McVay, they're pretty close in age compared to your typical coach quarterback relationship.
Yeah.
I wonder how that impacts that dynamic or did that. Yeah, you know, they're only like a few years removed from going to high school together.
Oh, do you think this was a handsome off? Like they're calling me one handsome guy as the face of the franchise? We're competing for the same women? What's going on here?
Well, here's the title of the article, Why the Sean McVay Jared Goff Partnership Fell Apart for the Los Angeles Rams. You know, you go back to, it was that week 12 of the 2020 season. Goff had turned the ball over 3 times. They lost to San Francisco, and McVay just had frustration there. And it had been brewing, according to Lindsay. McVay was no longer holding back. Two opposite personalities that once worked harmoniously, McVay's hyper-focused drive to Goff's cool and calm demeanor no longer meshed. Goff's thumb injury allowed McVay to start a different quarterback, and that coupled with Matthew Stafford's request for a trade from Detroit proved to be the end for Goff. And then, you know, when they lost to the Packers and McVay goes that Jared Goff is our quarterback right now. And I went, oh, boy, not much longer. And then you had the GM, Snead. Les Snead goes, Jared Goff is a Ram right now. So what's the date? January 26th? Trade happened on January 30th. Yeah, there was actually transparency there that you don't normally get where you're like, they're trading Jared Goff. But Goff, you know, has taken the high road. He said, you know, unfortunately, the way it ended is never how you envision it, but that's the way it goes. Yeah, but this is a long, long article here. But, you know, they came to that realization that Jared Goff was not their quarterback.
Is this risky for the Rams? The last 4 years, Jared Goff has thrown for 100 touchdowns and 50 picks. He's won 42 games in 4 regular seasons. got them to a Super Bowl with a lot of help. But we were talking about awkward situations the other day. What if Jared Goff plays really well next year in Detroit and Matthew Stafford plays serviceable in L.A.? How, what an awkward situation that would be.
Well, not having Kenny Golladay in Detroit is going to hurt Jared Goff. We'll start out with that. Yeah, McLevin.
Absolutely. But it's funny because there's a lot in this article about the personality conflict where McVay is type A and intense and Goff was laid back. Isn't Matthew Stafford laid back too, by the way? But
he's just a better quarterback.
Yeah.
He's laid back.
So it's okay to be laid back if you're really, really good.
The other thing I was told to keep an eye on by source with the Russell Wilson situation is, what does Seattle do during free agency? Well, is it a good thing that four of their five starting linemen are back this year from last year? If Russ had a problem with that offensive line, they brought in Gabe Jackson from the Raiders. But Seattle's offensive line, I didn't think was horrible last year, but you know, Russ certainly felt like it was, but they're returning 4/5 of their starters from last season, and then Jackson comes in as well. I don't know if this is enough. You re-sign Chris Carson, your running back, and you bring back your offensive line. Okay, is that enough if you're Russell Wilson? Because we haven't heard anything. Now, Russ has said that he wants to stay with Seattle. And if he was traded, these are the four teams he would waive as no trade. Of course, Dallas is now off that list. But we haven't heard much. And, you know, even my source, I haven't heard anything. The last thing I heard was what the Bears had offered the Seahawks there. And that became national news. Other than that, feels like everybody is playing nice in the sandbox here. But I don't know if that means, is Seattle exploring? You know, you go and they did their due diligence on Trey Lance, North Dakota State quarterback. You go there. The Bears went to that workout. We understand why the Bears would go to that workout, but Seattle going to that workout. Now, Seattle did that with Josh Allen, and Seattle loved Patrick Mahomes as well, from what I'm told. They really loved Josh Allen. I thought they were going to make a deal to get Josh Allen. But if Russ has this no-trade contract, no-trade clause, then it doesn't matter where you think you can make a deal. Because I think Miami, from what I was told, Miami and the Jets made inquiries about Russell Wilson. I don't know what the official offer was, if there was an official offer, but I'm told that they did discuss Russell Wilson. That's why when I look at Miami with, you know, Tua Tagovailoa, he's their starter. But this is a team that did at least kick the tires on Russell Wilson. Also, in the first hour of the show, I talked to a scout last night, and we were talking about a variety of things that had to do with the draft. And I said, who is the safest pick in the draft? He said, aside from Trevor Lawrence, it's Patrick Surtain, the defensive back from Alabama. And, you know, there's NFL bloodlines there. His dad was in the league as well. And, you know, his tape, they like to say, is clean. Played big in big games. The other player, aside from Trevor Lawrence, that I was told, these are the two picks that, according to my source, these are the can't-miss ones. Penny Sewell, the offensive lineman from Oregon. Those were the two that stood out. All the other quarterbacks and wide receivers and defense, you know, you name it, these were the two players that my source picked out. But then, you know, I got the Jets at number two. They sit there at number two. Are you trading Sam Darnold? Are you trading the pick? And you don't want to lose leverage right now. The Jets are not telling anybody anything. At least it feels like they're doing a pretty good job here of being quiet. But you have a GM who did not draft Sam Darnold. And if your GM drafted the quarterback, usually, unless you're the Rams, you're going to hold on to that quarterback that you believe in. And Sam Darnold is, what, 23? Do you want to give up on him? And is Zach Wilson that good that you want to bring him in? And for me, it comes down to, what will you give me? Barring a blockbuster deal, I was told the Jets may just hold on to Sam Darnold. But if you get something that's a blockbuster deal, then they might move off that number two pick overall. But you're going to get some Jets need a little bit, but they need a lot of help. And Sam Darnold needs a lot of help as well. I mean, I can't imagine Sam going, yep, I'm ready to go right back and have that same roster. All right, you're going to give him Kyle Pitts, tight end out of Florida? You're going to give him Jamar Chase? You're going to give him Devontae Smith? What are you going to give him? Because if you don't, then you're going to have the same thing all over again. And this is the year for the quarterback. I know we usually say this every year. Next year's quarterback lot is nowhere near what you have right now. And that's why teams, now is when you ponder, if we don't get our quarterback this year, we don't get our quarterback next year, then what happens? That's a long, that's an eternity in NFL parlance. Yeah, Paulie.
Going back to that 2018 draft where Sam Darnold was taken, Baker Mayfield went one, Saquon Barkley two to the Giants. Jets took Sam Darnold, and a lot of people said it was the right pick by the Jets, three. Yeah. If you gave the Jets a do-over, would they, I mean, obviously what you know now, pass on Sam Darnold and go with Quentin Nelson, who is readily available to them? Would that have been better for their franchise? It seems like obvious. Yeah,
I got a Hall of Fame lineman.
Right. So this year the Jets had the same pick, basically. They had the two pick. They should be taking a quarterback instead of taking the best offensive lineman in the draft. Should they take the best offensive lineman and say, look, let's build our team, not another quarterback who's going to get roughed up? Because it's almost like a do-over. The kid out of BYU, the quarterback, is going to get the same Sam Darnold treatment.
Yeah, McClubb.
The one thing, they already have a great left tackle, Mekhi Becton, if you could say healthy. So can you draft Penei Sewell and move him to right tackle? I have no idea, but I hear that's a problem. Maybe you can, you know, but Penei Sewell was born to play left tackle. So I don't know why they want him that bad.
Like, I don't know if he was born.
Well, they always say that. Like, they always talk about, like, the draft guys always talk about left tackles and their long arms. I don't understand. It seems like the right tackle is important, too, to me. But
I don't know if the doctor says when he's being delivered, what is it? It's a left tackle. You got a left tackle.
Yeah, because he has long arms. And if you have dinosaur arms, you're a guard. That's the, Quentin Nelson.
Like, Bill Laimbeer had short arms.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we call those alligator arms. And usually when it comes to paying the check, Fritzy has alligator arms. They don't fit into his pocket.
Just can't get there.
No, can't get there.
Maybe the fingernail, but it's not enough to actually pick it up.
Can't get there. All right, we'll take a break. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. Phone calls are welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. After all that talk about Marcus Mariota, was he going to the Patriots? Was he going to the Eagles? Was he going to the Colts? He's staying with the Raiders. And he got a no-trade clause as well. He took a steep pay cut in the contract, but he did get a no-trade clause. I'm not sure why he would stay. But I don't know. I guess it doesn't mean he couldn't be traded, but the Raiders can't trade him without his permission. And maybe if you get closer to the playoffs and if you lose your quarterback and you got a chance with Mariota. You know, I thought that he was going to be able to hit that restart button, as we've seen some quarterbacks as of late do. But as it is now, he is still a Las Vegas Raider here. Which surprises, I think, a lot of people. Yeah, Paul.
If you were a backup trying to restart your career, wouldn't you look for a situation where the starter is vulnerable as a strategy? Or would you just look for money, I guess?
Well, he might have been looking, or his agent might have been looking. That doesn't mean the teams weren't looking at him the same way he might have been looking at them.
Like Mitch Trubisky, he got a job with the Buffalo Bills. That seems like a job where they would like him to never play a down of football if all goes well.
Yeah.
So that doesn't seem like a place where Mitch Trubisky has a chance to resurrect his career.
Well, you also, next year is not a strong year with the draft with quarterbacks. And then maybe you look at Mitchell Trubisky and you look at him differently, or you're able to give him an opportunity. I don't know. Josh Allen takes a lot of hits, a lot of contact there. Yeah, man, yeah, McClubb.
I mean, Andy Dalton sat in Dallas and got it in there. You know, he could sign a $1 million deal. So you can get a starting job next year. I think Trubisky starts next year. I think you're right. You know, there's going to be someone looking for someone.
And Jameis Winston did this.
Yeah, Jameis.
Yeah, but I'm backing up a 40-year-old, and that's why he's elevated to, you know, competing, you know, for the starting job. Yeah, McLovin.
And Cam Newton took $1 million deal and got. Yeah. Although I don't know, are you hearing anything? Is that settled in New England? Is it Cam?
Well, we had Albert Breer on in the first hour from the Monday Morning Quarterback. He said, "Don't rule out the Patriots jumping up to get a quarterback here." It feels like, you know, there are going to be teams that are desperate to get that quarterback this year because that quarterback won't be available next year. What about the most awkward situations that could happen in the NFL this year? How about Russell Wilson stays in Seattle and the team regresses? Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill are both a disaster in the post-Drew Brees era. Andy Dalton plays great, leads the Bears to the playoffs. Yeah, it wouldn't be awkward. It would be surprising, maybe.
A lot of people had to eat their words.
Well, the Bears PR already put it out there, QB1, and they photoshopped Andy Dalton in a Bears uniform. Wouldn't you sort of downplay this, like soft sell Andy Dalton as your starting quarterback in Chicago? You know, you were rumored to be in line for getting Russell Wilson. You're at least in the conversation. And then all of a sudden you get, like, if you put out Russell Wilson photoshopped in a Bears uniform and went QB1 and you got him, okay, I get that. You want to shout that from the mountaintops. You got Andy Dalton. I don't know if that's one of those where you go QB1. I wonder what Nick Foles thought of that, because Nick Foles is still there. How about Jared Goff plays better than Matthew Stafford does this year? What if Dak Prescott underachieves? What if Carson Wentz plays well for the Colts and Jalen Hurts does not? Are we missing any other ones in here? Yeah, McLovin.
See, I feel like a lot of people expect some of these to happen, like Carson Wentz to be better with a great O-line. And I don't think the expectations are high on Jalen Hurts, league-wide. I think most people have them fourth in that division.
Well, look, they changed the whole direction of their franchise by they have Jalen Hurts and they got rid of Carson Wentz.
But they'd already benched Wentz. They fired their coach. Like, it was already melted down a long time ago.
Yeah. I'm looking at these numbers here. Mark Sanchez, first three seasons with the Jets, his touchdown to interception ratio was a little over one. Quarterback rating 73. Yards per attempt 6.5. Sam Darnold, first three seasons, TD to interception ratio 1.1. Quarterback rating 78. Yards per attempt is 6.6. Is Sam Darnold Mark Sanchez? Although Sanchez did get them to a couple of conference title games there. Sam just doesn't have any talent around him. Like, the Jets had talent with Sanchez. Yeah, Paul.
Mark Sanchez has four more playoff wins than Matthew Stafford has for his career. And he has four playoff wins.
Mm. Final hour coming up. We'll get to your phone calls. Frank Isola will join us. We'll talk about the NBA trade deadline. What am I missing on the Pelicans? Why are they bad? Or rephrase it, why aren't they good? And Lonzo Ball's on the move. To where? Clippers? Lakers' chances with Kyle Lowry? That's coming up. Close out the second hour with Sleep Number. My Sleep Number setting, 100. You go into the store, find your Sleep Number setting. When you're there, ask about Sleep IQ technology. Also, some of the tips for getting a good night's sleep. You're able to get a great night's sleep, like really get a great night's sleep. And that helps with your immune system, improving recovery, increasing energy. Go to bed, wake up at the same time. Even on weekends, you will sleep better with a consistent sleep and wake up routine. Bright lights, stay away from those in the evening. That keeps the body alert. And the room temperature is really important as well. 65 to 67 degrees, ideal for quality sleep. Caffeine intake. Make sure that you switch to decaf after 12 o'clock. Take walks outside. Get movement there. But also, get the best bed you can buy. Sleep Number 360 C4 Smart Bed. Queen mattress is just $1,499. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/Patrick.